What are you listening to?
Shut the hell up. I'm listening to the Noise Cast.
What is the Noise Cast?
I said shut up.
Ow. The Noise Cast.
He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people off, trying to rape him, so you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Noisecast. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/noisecast and noisecast.com. About technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and random things of that sort. We're here tonight with an all-star cast starting with Kevlar Menace.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Special guest sent from my toilet.
Hey, what's up?
Tito number 9.
Hey.
Gonzo Ryder.
Another day in paradise.
And second special guest, Cranberry Zero of iHeartChaos.com.
How's it going?
Hello, and thank you everybody for joining us tonight. Cranberry Zero, I know your site is a little bit related to our podcast. It's quite interesting to iHeartChaos.com. Tell us a bit about that. What's the gist of iHeartChaos?
I'm not really sure, honestly. It's just a bunch of stuff that I found interesting and built a community around, but it's got a little bit of everything. It's got tech news and video game news and movie news, and it's also got some naked boobies on the site too.
And everybody loves boobies.
Yes,
right.
Fuck yeah. It's not safe for work or school or adults.
Right. So it's just a place you can get tech news and geek news and nudity.
And apparently a creepy old guy getting fucked in the ass.
What?
There's this picture on the homepage that says crack's a hell of a drug, and there's someone, two people with their pants down by a car, getting fucked in the ass.
I think that's a crack whore and a crack addict.
I don't know, the guy looks like he has a mullet. Looks like a dude with a mullet. I've seen my share of mullets, let me tell you.
Of all the shit on that website, that's what he zooms in on.
Obviously, this gives you all incentive to go to iHeartChaos.com.
Yes.
That's awesome.
But check it out, though. If you want a good laugh, if you want sort of some cool news, check it out. Go there. Visit Feedback for Cranberry Zero. You could always contact him on the website. There's links and stuff as well as a comment section. Anyway, they marked the official ending of CES 2011, and there was a lot to talk about, but we're going to save that till next week for Snoop to return from CES, who was our resident noise caster at the event. If you notice on our Twitter, he's been posting pictures. He even met Leo Laporta and stuff like that. So he'll be back with a full report next week, and we'll digest everything on episode 15 for you. But an interesting note that happened at CES is that what a lot of outlets like Engadget and stuff are talking about is that Apple stole the show again with rumors that Verizon is announcing the iPhone in a couple days, I believe in January 11th, is it?
Something like that.
Everybody seems to be certain, absolutely certain. Even the Wall Street Journal is like, this is going to be the iPhone for Verizon, no doubt about it. And they even announced today that it will be getting an unlimited data plan.
Yeah, I don't know if it stole the show necessarily from CES. But, it is a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny though that Apple was able to, I've heard a lot about this, and in some ways they have, and it's funny that they have without even a real product. I mean, they had the Mac App Store, big whoop, and then the news of a possible Verizon iPhone. I just think that's, they didn't even really have anything to show, and that's like they're the big news out of CES.
Yeah. I'm just tired of hearing about the Verizon iPhone, like. Either it's real or it isn't. Just do it or don't do it.
And they need the GIMP mask with it. We've said from episode 1.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting on those S&M cases to come out.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm just not gonna give a shit. It's just a phone on another network, and every network has their own phones. Big whoop.
Yeah, I think what really stood out at CES obviously was the tablet revolution and Honeycomb.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think last year there was a lot of stuff about tablets last year, and there's even more about it this year. And I just want to finally see someone actually, just just come out with something. I know there's the Samsung Galaxy, and that's been doing really well. I think I get the idea that there's a lot of companies that sort of went back to the drawing board after the iPad did so well. There was a while where there was a lot of companies that were right after the iPad came out where they were saying, we need, you know, well, we have a tablet too, and it does Windows 7, and then, you know, they realize that Windows 7 doesn't really make for a good mobile tablet OS. So I think a lot of companies going back. But I was really excited to see video and the stuff for Android 3. I think that'll make for a much better tablet experience than the ones based on
Android. I'm really excited to see what that looks like in person and actually get some hands on, because I'm in the market for a tablet and I don't want an iPad. So it's either that or Windows 7, and I don't know what I'm going to do yet, because nothing's really available hands on, and I'm just anxious to see it.
I've got an iPad and I really, really like it, but I want to see more companies start actually coming out with stuff and not just more prototypes and more talk.
You mentioned iPad. One of the thoughts that crossed my mind when they announced that Verizon would be getting the iPhone on this was, what if it isn't the iPhone? What if it's an LTE version of the iPad?
Is already selling the iPad, aren't they?
They're only selling it with their MiFi bullcrap. It would be cool. It'd be smart because it is such a data, you know, it's all web-based. That's what the iPad is pretty much. But I think a whole lot of people would be disappointed.
I don't see why they would, seeing how they just got the iPad with MiFi. Because why didn't they just wait to release it with LTE?
Well, I mean, you could argue the same thing for its recent slew of Android phones that came out less than 6 months ago. Why sort of try to cannibalize those sales by bringing out the iPhone now and not waiting till iPhone 5 and do it on?
Yeah, but that's just something like Apple wouldn't do, though, I think, in my opinion. You know, come out with one version and then like a couple months later come out with like another version.
Well, it's interesting to note that Verizon is in charge of the show.
Are they?
It's not an Apple event. It's actually a Verizon press conference.
Oh, yeah, event. The event, yeah. Yeah, I thought you meant like their relationship.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know who's the man of that relationship, but we'll soon find out.
The job.
The job, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna do it unless he gets what he wants. And you know what? Honestly, I think he could probably limit the hell out of the phone. And Verizon knows they're still gonna sell. They're gonna sell plans, and they're gonna sell phones. So, I doubt they really care. There are people dumb enough just to buy it because it's an iPhone on Verizon.
Yeah, there's a lot of dumb people out there.
Yeah, regardless of how good other phones get, like the Windows 7 phones or Android phones or whatever, people are still going to buy it just because it's shiny and it has an Apple on the back of it.
Yep.
Just because there are those people that are like, oh, it's Apple, that makes it better.
My mom is one
that
of those.
Is that the iPhone 4G?
Yeah.
Yes, those people.
I hate that.
My mom is waiting to upgrade her phone until Verizon gets the iPhone.
Mom's going to be using that phone for a long time.
Yep. BlackBerry Storm. Got it. And you know how long it took her to get a hold of that and figure out how to properly send texts? Hasn't happened yet.
Your mom's awesome.
Yeah. She just got an iPad for Christmas. And she was talking to me while trying to use it and kept hitting the wrong buttons, and that was entertaining.
Anybody use the new Mac app store? The Mac to be able to use?
I don't think anybody here has a Mac.
I have a Mac. I looked at it, and it's really underwhelming. I mean, it's basically just as you would imagine. It's just like the iTunes store or like the normal app store, except crappy Mac app.
Well, Toxic was really excited about it because she finally got... Yeah, Toxic finally got Solitaire, so she was stoked.
That's actually the number one free app on the Mac App Store right now.
Macs don't have Solitaire?
No, they don't really come with any games. They come with a chess game, and that's it.
What about Minesweeper?
Chess game sucks ass.
No Minesweeper.
You have a comic creator where you get to put comic butt bubbles on people.
Oh, yeah, WTF.
Woo!
But no, I played around with the App Store, and like our friend here just said, it is underwhelming. I mean, even the Twitter app, believe it or not, Twitter for the iPhone or the iPad is 1,000 times more powerful and more than the Twitter app on the Mac App Store, which is far. Just to see that an underwhelming version be released on the App Store right now. maybe the things will mature.
Maybe. I mean, I'm just tired of app stores. Like, we have enough. Start consolidating.
Well, I think a lot of companies have been seeing, you know, the success with the Apple App Store and Steam, and everybody wants to jump in on that. You know, Microsoft and Google and Apple and everyone. I mean, they want to, you know, sell a zillion little crappy apps and get a center.
Well, when it's when it's done, it's great. Like the way that Apple did the original iOS App Store, everything worked out great. The way that Steam has theirs, it's amazing. But then you look at stuff like the Android app market, and it's horrendous.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare to try and navigate and find what you want. It's,
To a certain extent, the Android app market makes me sort of appreciate some of the stricter regulations in the iOS store, because it's just, you have no idea what you're looking at. I mean, you get in there, and it could be, you know, I mean, you have no idea what sort of crap you're getting into. And there's just, it's like a wild west of shitty phone apps.
Yeah, that's why I've been using AppBrain since the beginning, because everything on AppBrain is really well sorted. It's easy to navigate through, and you can find what you want on the website, click it on the website, and then it downloads on your phone. It's so much better than the way they have it implemented. So that's
what's the name of that again?
AppBrain, AppBrain. There's a little application that you download on the phone, and then you can go to the website as well.
And Kevlar, you've messed around with the BlackBerry app marketplace?
Yeah, it's right. I mean, it's
the BlackBerry app world is really lacking, in my opinion.
Well, they should. You would assume that they would beef it up, seeing how the playbook is going to be coming out.
Oh, well, is the play? I thought the playbook was running a separate OS.
But
or am I mistaken?
Wouldn't it also run from the BlackBerry marketplace?
Maybe.
I don't see why they would have a different.
Apps on my BlackBerry just because I hate navigating the App Store, the App World, or whatever
their
it's
app
called.
World store is a pain and it's horrid. And
like, I'll search for things and I know it's there, but I won't find it.
Really? It's that bad?
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, sometimes I get the same thing on the Android App Store, where I know damn well that there's an app by that name, and it just won't find it.
Well, it doesn't. It's not friendly when it comes to spaces. For example, if you look up App Brain with as one word, it'll come up. But if you look up App Brain as two separate words, App and Brain, it won't come up.
Yeah, I mean, you think you know, of all people, like Google would have a good way to search the store.
Ironic.
Yep.
Not to go off on a really big tangent, but on the same sort of topic. It's not on the topic list right now, but a few days ago, I believe it was yesterday, on TechCrunch, there was an article analyzing Google's grasp as it's sort of failing on consumer market these days, and over the last year. It says Google Wave, and its simple bug in Android is the SMS bug, which was there for up to 6 months before it got enough press coverage for Google to say, okay, we'll fix it. They're attributing this to too much bureaucracy within its ranks, similar to what Microsoft went through a few years back before it sort of off in the ass and sort of tore down those walls. Do we think this is an accurate portrayal of what's going on in Google right now? Is it really, I mean, a lackluster company?
It doesn't surprise me. I know that Microsoft got too big, too many people, too many chiefs, for its own good. For a while, you kind of tell when everything just kind of went bleh, and they stopped producing new things. But the recent stuff coming from Google hasn't really been that amazing. It seems like they're trying to reinvent a lot of things that don't necessarily need reinventing. They're trying to sell themselves as Google. It's kind of like, in the way I phrase it, for me, is it's kind of like Toyota. They're resting on their... Yeah, they're doing well because, you know, Toyota was badass in the early 90s. You buy like a 92 Toyota, that thing's going to last you the rest of your life. But you buy a new Toyota, that thing may crash you into a tree. You know, no brakes.
I think that part of it is because they're getting too big and they're spreading themselves thin. I don't think that they're really getting to the point where they're like getting cocky about it.
they're trying to do too much. The reason they were so good as a search engine is because that's all they did. They were a search company. And then as they started branching out, that some things they did really well, some things just completely fucking bombed.
Yeah, but, then you have Gmail versus Wave.
Right.
Right.
Gmail, amazing. Wave, what?
Wave was all right. And then Buzz. Let's use Buzz.
I liked Wave, example. But no one used it. So it was kind of like, I like because it,
a lot
but
of, a lot of people didn't
there's
know
no
how.
Point to it. Yeah, it was a little complicated, but it had some neat features.
Well, even when Google...
It's flagship product, it's search engine. How has it changed over the last couple of years at all?
There's a lot. I see that the way it searches for things is a little different. Like, I know like Google makes its money off of the ads that you click on, and I feel that, you know, obviously it will favor some of the sites. Because, like, Bing... I use Bing when I'm like actually searching for things, not like directions or like recipes or anything like that. But like in-depth searches, I'll use Bing because I feel Microsoft just takes me where – I mean Google takes me where Google wants to take me.
Well, people have optimized for Google's search algorithms for years now, and Bing has a – like a – it's almost like they understand how humans phrase their stupid searches better. It's that's the way it is for me. Like, it kind of, it preemptively assumes you're thinking about something. Whereas Google, if you type in all the keywords, quotes, ands, nots, you're going to find what you want really fast if you know exactly what you're looking for.
I think I've used Bing maybe once.
I think Toilet only uses it because it's on his phone.
Oh, right.
it's the only reason I use it, but I've actually gotten used to using it, and the way it searches better. I like the way it searches. I'm still a Google hound. But
yeah, I don't like Bing at all, to be honest. Too pretty for me.
Magnitude of Bing's effect on Google was sort of evident. Google tried to Bingify its homepage by giving people the option of doing custom backgrounds and stuff.
Oh, like, God, that dude, fucking that pissed me off. Yeah.
I
wanted to stab
white.
Somebody for that.
And that was the reaction of the majority of the people when it came to
who that. Even goes to the Google homepage, though?
I don't think I Google.
I used to when my web browser at work was IE6.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that
I
was
have,
it.
I use Chrome mostly now, and I don't think I've seen the Google homepage in months.
The only time I go to it is when I see a Google Doodle on the search results.
Oh, right.
And I'll go to the Google homepage to see the full size version of that Doodle. That's
yeah.
Yeah, I'll go a lot when I'm at work just because they force me to use either Firefox or Internet Explorer.
Have you guys tried the search engine Gleco?
The one that
are you making stuff up again?
That's user ranked on the searches. It only takes like the top maybe dozen relevant ones and shows them to you.
I'm not sure if it's user ranked. It could be. I've only used it a couple times. It's fairly new. The people who developed it came from Google, and it just searches in a whole different way. I was talking to Agrippa about it the other day, and we both think that it could grow to be a phenomenal search engine, but it still has a long ways to go. But if you guys haven't checked it out, give it a try.
I don't know. I'm hesitant to try new things. Rock mode
really
turned me off to trying new things.
The the cool search engines, KUHL?
No.
That was a real piece of shit. It was they advertised themselves as having 10 times more search results than Google, but the way they were doing that is basically listing all of the junk that Google normally throws away. And they had this huge opening day, and they were pushing it to all these tech blogs. And I think it was around for maybe about a week when everyone realized that it was just totally.
I think everything after page two in Google is not worth your time.
Right. I mean, if you have to go past page two, maybe you just need to refine your search results anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And if you go past page 30, they automatically assume you're a bot and force you to stop.
But Google apparently has some other tricks up its sleeve. The first being wants to tackle the Daily. Is it called the Daily, the newspaper for the iPad, as well as that new one that Richard Branson launched with their Android called One Digital Newsstand, and this is supposed to be just sort of an aggregator, but it brings all your news articles and all your magazine articles into one place, sort of like Flipbook, sort of not, but specifically for Android.
See, my thing is people need to learn how to use an RSS reader. Most people don't, and that's one thing that I don't, I mean, I wish I had on the Windows phone that I have, is an RSS reader.
RSS, in a way, though, it's sort of turned for the worse in terms of popularity and usage. I mean, to things like Facebook and Twitter, which are becoming the new sort of...
Yeah, but I have one RSS, or I have Twitter that I don't have just news on there. I have people I actually talk to. And then when it comes to RSS, I go to my RSS feed. It's like a Twitter, but it's, I see the headline, I look at it. If I want to read it, I read it. If I don't, then I just, you know, go to the next item.
Check out Feed Reader for Windows Phone 7.
What's it called?
Feed Reader.
Okay, I'll look at it.
Does Google Reader not, do you not have an app or accessibility on your phones with that?
You can sync it through, I believe, the app that I just said, Feed Reader. I don't use RSS feeds, but I know that there are some apps now on the App Store.
I've looked through a few of them, and I'm not a big fan of what they like. Some of them are pay, and I don't like it that much.
Oh, well, I mean, so on the topic of Windows Phone 7, I know you guys, both you, Toilet, and Kevlar, you just got your Windows Phone, so you have one.
Yeah, I got it a week ago.
Why don't you guys give us a little review, a little rundown of the whole thing?
Hey, you can go ahead.
Right. Okay. So I came from iPhone and my iPhone 4. And so I was kind of nostalgic leaving iOS to Windows Phone 7. And once I got it, it was better than I thought it was going to be. And there's no turning back. So I'm pretty happy for it being a first. I think Microsoft did a very amazing job with letting the developers maximize the OS. Let's see, sorry. But some of the things that disappoint me were Facebook and Twitter. They didn't really use the tools that Microsoft gave them to make those apps as best as they could. Like there's no notifications for either of those two, which are, you know, something that I use on a daily basis, and it'd be nice to have notifications when something pops up. Instead, you have to go into them and manually check to see if there's, you know, someone replied to you on Twitter or on Facebook, and, you know, that's not fun.
And the other, that's one of the things that bothers me, is not even on your home feed on the Twitter one does it list the notification. Like, it's not bolded, it's not highlighted, nothing.
Yeah, like it's a dead tile.
Yeah,
and
developers. You know,
there are some other apps that use that, like Bees for Twitter. It's a Twitter app called Bees. It gives you notifications when you get a message, or you can actually do tweet by tweet, and you can also do replies. It has pretty good options, but the interface of the two. Twitter and Facebook are amazing. Actually, all the apps, the way that they're integrated throughout the whole OS, they use, you know, the Zune, basically how the Zune looks is how each app is going to be implemented, and which is very beautiful in my opinion. How do you feel about that, Kevlar?
I don't know. The thing I really like is the phones are fairly high-end. That's the big upgrade from the older Windows phones, where you could throw it on a Nokia brick. And yeah, sure, it was a Windows mobile phone, but it didn't work, and it froze, and it died. But it's clean, it's smooth, like he says. You've got the home screen tiles, and then you've got the next, if you swipe to the side, you've got all your other apps that aren't on your home screen that you can pin to your home screen and all that stuff. One thing about that you mentioned, that there's no going back, I noticed... during the CES event for Microsoft, Ballmer said that 9 out of 10 AT&T users on Windows Mobile, or for Windows Phone 7, said they would recommend it to a friend, that they actually liked it that much.
Yeah,
I just don't think there's that many users for that 9 out of 10 to be a large number. Which, yeah. It sucks.
Who's that 10th guy? What's wrong with him?
He's a fanboy. He got handed the phone. He's an Apple fanboy. but
it was actually Ron Tourage.
Yeah, probably.
Well, speaking of like Apple, I haven't had one drop call since I've gotten the Windows Phone 7, and I just came accustomed to drop calls coming with the iPhone, and that was one of the first things I noticed was like in the first couple of days is that I didn't have one single drop. I still haven't had one single drop call. I've always had good service, but it's just with the iPhone, I was dropping calls left and right.
Yeah, because you were holding it wrong.
Probably.
Well, one of the things that I really like about this phone, I have the surround, the one with the slide-out speaker, which I thought initially would be retarded. And it's still kind of a dumb idea, but it actually has decent sound. I'm working around my apartment in the kitchen or whatever. I'll actually slide the speaker out, throw the kickstand down, and I'll play streaming radio, and it works. And it's loud enough for me to hear over running water. If I crank it all the way up, it's obnoxiously loud. I'll forget and leave the ring on sometimes.
Yeah, that was a nice feature I like too, because the iPhone speaker is really not that loud, and
It's tiny.
Well, see, I thought it was okay, like it was decent, but I have the Focus and the speaker on this thing. I mean, it's not anything quality wise as the surround, but it's still loud, and I was blown away by that too, because I've had the iPhone since it first came out, and it's just something again that I was accustomed to, and it's just something nice to have. It's just everything about it is just so different, and everything I have to say about it is positive. So,
Kevlar, you said you were streaming radio on it, like while you're in the kitchen, and
yeah,
doing
that's
whatever.
Wi-Fi.
How does that affect? Yeah, how does that affect the battery life?
Honestly, I have it since I've had it. I've been playing with the phone. It's rarely gone to the lock screen, so the battery will last me maybe like 3 or 4 hours. But that's because I'm hardcore laying on it, just goofing around, constantly checking. I have a laptop in front of me. I can do everything I need to on it. I'm not, just because I have the phone.
Okay. You know what? That's all anybody's going to hear is that 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
You're like, and that's the battery life sucks. But
actually, mine, today,
that's
today,
pretty good if you're going to be a power user.
Yeah. But like,
yeah, but
today,
they're going to ignore the power user part of it. They're just going to take the 3 to 4 hours.
If people can't understand it, then they're idiots.
Mine's actually pretty good. The battery life, it lasts me a whole 8 hour shift at work, and I'll be playing, you know, Xbox Live games, going through Twitter, Facebook, everything, you know, the App Store, Zoom.
Yeah.
And it lasts me a full day at work. And most of you know, I'm usually goofing off at work anyway. So,
yeah, today it lasted me a while. I only used it, I mean, I wouldn't say sparingly, but I used it much less. And I didn't even have my laptop in the room. So I still used it pretty heavily to check Facebook, check Twitter, all that stuff, play a few games. But it definitely, it went down to about half battery, and I've been up since like 7 this morning, so like 12 hours of constant fiddling. But one of the things I wanted to mention big time for me was the fact that you get to use the Zoom software on your desktop versus iTunes.
Yeah.
The Zoom software is about 10 times sexier than iTunes. It runs better. I like
smoother.
The way it looks. It looks kind of hipster with the specific font, the way it is. The same font in the phone. It's kind of, you know, like things are not always perfectly in frame and all that crap. But I really, really enjoy the way, you know, you buy apps, you click buy, it works. You trial. Most of the apps I've seen that are pay actually have a trial. That's something I don't remember from the iTunes store.
Yeah, you can, and the trials are actually pretty in-depth trials too.
Yeah, the only
and
one
if
I, go ahead.
If you do decide to buy it, you could use your Zune account, or you can actually attach it to your phone bill, which is nice to have.
Yeah, I've been using my Zune account.
You can throw it onto the phone bill.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Mine automatic. If I go from the software on my computer, the actual Zune marketplace on my Windows machine, I don't think it brings up an option for the phone. I haven't really tried it, but from my phone, if I want to buy something, it'll give me the option to enter a card or use my AT&T, put it on my bill, that's awesome.
And the AT&T app, my wireless, completely sucks ass.
I haven't even used it because I'm always on my home Wi-Fi when I think about it, and it tells me there's an error with that. Same with the radio.
It'll take you to – it'll open up the Internet Explorer browser, and so it's like, why is there
it's just a shortcut.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But Samsung actually – I know HTC has a good
YouTube app. HTC's YouTube app would be great if it lets you log in. Or search. The search works. Just when I first tried it, it doesn't work. It kind of screwed up on me. But
Samsung has some decent apps. One that's actually really popular is their photo app. It's called Photogram. And
I'll look that up because I can use it on my phone too. They just don't tell you that.
It's an amazing app. There's actually a website that I found very useful for looking up apps. And they have like little video demos before you actually take the time to download it. It's called 1800pocketpc.com. And they have hundreds of Windows Phone 7 apps that you can just browse through.
I've got a quick question to the guys using Windows Phone 7 about the Xbox Live integration.
Yeah, go ahead.
How extensive is that, and how exactly does that work?
There's Xbox Live Hub, which is basically a live tile, but it opens up and runs apps within it. So that's the difference between a hub and a tile. I'm logged in through my account. On the home screen, it shows the games I have that are Xbox Live connected, and then there's games that aren't Xbox Live connected. I think that's a point on the developer. He gets to choose whether or not he wants it to be in the Xbox Live Marketplace or not, and whatever the rules are for Xbox Live Marketplace, I'm sure they're a lot stricter, because a lot of the games that don't affect your Xbox Live score seem to be crappy. Like the old Bubble Popper game from Windows Mobile is in here in a different form. And then there's an app within that called Xbox Live Extras where you can actually go in and modify your account.
Yeah, you can send messages to your friends, see who's online, actually accept friend requests. Like when Kevlar sent me a friend request, I accepted it through my phone.
Yeah, I sent it through my phone.
You can send messages, edit your profile, change your avatar. The avatar is actually live. Just on your Xbox, he dances, you touch him, and he does all that other stuff. He goes, hee hee. You can change your avatar's clothes. I mean, it's basically just like how it is on the Xbox for the avatar.
Is there anything that I can do with the games that I have now? Like if I wanted to do something with Alan Wake, is there anything on my phone for that, or is it just restricted to?
No, there isn't. I would assume that there'd be some sort of tie-in that would have to come from the game developer. They would have to make an Windows Phone 7 app. For it, and they would have to somehow tie it in. I don't know how that would work. That's all on the back end of Xbox Live.
There's an app called Windows One. It's WP7 My Idea.
It's a link to the forum for the developer site.
Yeah, and what it does is you can post your own idea, and people can rate on it or vote on it, and the higher rated ones get viewed the most, and most likely will end up being implemented into the OS.
It was announced at CES at the Microsoft keynote that they're working closely with developers for the next big update on Windows Phone 7 to, they're bringing Fable
to
Windows Phone 7. And if you play Fable 3 and you collect all your gold, you could use a Phone 7 device to manage sort of character and stuff like that. And I think it's a very simple game. It's like Fable Golf, I think it was what it was called. And you have this little golf game that's themed off of Fable, and whatever gold you collect in there gets transferred to your Fable character on the Xbox 360.
Now that sounds cheesy, but Fable that's golf, really damn cool.
It's cheesy, but it's the most basic way of showing how they're planning on integrating your Xbox Live games with your Windows Phone 7 games.
Well, I remember when they were first advertising Xbox Live for your Windows Phone, they were saying you can play a game on your Xbox, pause it, you know, save it, and then leave the house, open that app within your phone, and pick off where you left off. Well, that'll come. That hasn't happened yet.
That'll come. quicker than
no. I think they need to get some of the mini games on there, like because I bought Bejeweled and I really wish it would transfer to my phone account because I just bought the other one because I'm a Bejeweled addict. But I think there's some of the mini games that they have on the Xbox Arcade that would easily transfer to a phone.
They should
allow them to, if they build a phone version of that game, it should be, I wouldn't say free because they put time and effort into it, but discounted.
Yeah, we'll give them time. It's
I'd free. Like it to be free. I sure would. But
your honest opinions on Windows Phone 7, if one of our listeners is thinking his contract is expiring within the next 3 months, your opinion, should they go Windows Phone 7 or should they wait?
It depends. If they want the Android level of getting down and dirty and being able to do everything you want with the phone, I mean, I'd say no. But if they're someone who just likes to use the apps the way they are and they don't want to jailbreak it, there is a jailbreak out for it. But I'd recommend it either way because there's stuff coming for this phone. It's powerful. It's got a lot of stuff to.
I definitely would recommend it over anything for my preference. I like it more than anything that's out right now. One, because it's new. Two, it's just so fast and fluent. And just everything that is in the App Store, once you download it, just, you know, it's just another, oh, that's so cool. Like,
yeah.
It's just, everything is just, like, positive about it. Sure, there's no, like, copy and paste right now. It's coming. You know, that's one of the things I listed as that it definitely needs. Another thing would be, like, the camera that Kevlar and I were talking about. It just needs a little tweaking, but other than that, I mean, for it being a first platform of an OS, a new OS, it's done amazingly. And I'm sure 3 months from now, they're going to have new hardware out. So, I'd say why not?
Yeah, if you want to get an in-depth written or a video preview of the Windows Phone 7, go ahead. We have a blog now. It's thenoisecast.blogspot.com. I've written up a full review. I've posted a few videos on there. There's some in the review, and there's a separate video as well that go over what the phone basically is, what the OS is, and how it works. So
I would really love to try the Windows Phone 7, but stupid Sprint, as far as I can tell, doesn't have any dates on when they're getting Windows 7
phone. Next month, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I heard something about that too.
Verizon and Sprint.
February 14th through the 17th, where Mobile World Congress happens in Barcelona, Spain. That's most likely when the next big update for Windows Phone 7 will be released, and probably where they're going to reveal all their Verizon and Sprint handsets for everybody else aside from AT&T.
And that's when they'll talk about the Verizon iPhone, too.
Yeah, I've been on Sprint for about 5 years, and I think the last year, right now, like, if you go to their site, their newest brand-new phone is HTC Evo, which is a really good phone from what I hear. I have a HTC Hero. I'm just like, come on, guys, just come out with something new, for fuck's sake. And it's T-Mobile and AT&T that are getting all the new shit.
That's because Sprint's dying slowly. It has phone company cancer.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, the T-Mobile, of all the companies, T-Mobile.
T-Mobile is kind of a big deal in Europe and stuff, but here it kind of sucks ass.
Changing that, they're bumping up their network speeds to 72 or 42 megs downstream.
Well, hey, there's a big difference between 72 and 42. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between 72 and 42.
Compared to your, like, 10 that you get now, it matters not.
Okay. What are you getting? Because whatever you're getting, you need like three times as much.
Well, right now he's getting none because he can't even talk on here.
I did a speed test actually last night on my phone, and I got a downlink of 2.33 megabits. That was my speed test, Verizon.
Megabits or megabytes?
It's B-I-T-S.
Right on.
But anyway.
I think we've kind of derailed.
Yes, just a little bit.
Woo, woo!
Facebook got injected with $500 million. $500 million.
My name is Stephen Callis and I suck ass.
Yeah, bring that one on the phone.
$500 million from Goldman Sachs, an investment which bumps its valuation to $50 billion, not $500 billion, like everybody else thought they said. And Facebook isn't even a public IPO yet. Not a public company.
They will be.
It will be. Are you sure about that?
Well,
most likely.
They need to. I mean, they have.
Yeah.
They have this, what I refer to as theoretical money. Like, oh, they're worth this much. Well, you're not worth that much until someone buys you and gives you money. Otherwise, you're not worth shit.
No, they're selling themselves quite well, what I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their worth is awesome, but it's only worth that much.
How much is if somebody's awesome gonna pay worth?
It. A currency converter for awesome, Gonzo?
I wish there was, because then I'd be worth a bajillion dollars, but I don't think there is.
I'm worth at least 17 awesomes for whatever that's.
Now you're shooting yourself low. You're easy 20.
How many euros is that?
How's this cock taste?
What's a euro?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm American.
It's a tasty thing you put in a pita and you eat.
A big eat.
Yes, yeah, so let's ask the Greek guy about euros.
And Facebook's also, they're moving to East Palo Alto into Sun's old campus.
Yes.
Oh, nice. And, Sun, they used to have a huge campus, didn't they?
Yeah, my uncle's actually the VP and GM at HP in Cupertino. And their office is, I think, like 10, 15 miles away. And I've gone to their campus. If it's anything like that, which I read it pretty much is, their campus is going to be like amazing. They're going to have their own. You know, remember how Google had all those perks that they were saying? You know, they got a gym, you know, a gourmet cafeteria, and everyone wanted to work for Google. That's pretty much what it's going to be like. They have it's kind of like a fortress. They have a gym.
They have like towers with like turrets in them.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, force fields.
Wait.
No, but it's going to be a pretty cool working environment. But the only downfall is it's in East Palo Alto, which is really ghetto.
Well, maybe they'll just put it in a moat.
Really ghetto.
Hey, moats are awesome. Everyone should have a moat.
I'm curious to see what Facebook's world domination plans are, because I remember years ago Google was like, oh, no, we're just a search engine. We're not, you know, we don't have any plans. We're just going to keep building our search engine stuff, and then 3 years later, they're just coming out with everything under the sun, Google Maps and Android and Chrome, you know, Netbook OS. And
Google's whole don't be evil mantra has gone down the shitter.
Right, it has. But I mean, right now, like, Facebook is doing sort of the same thing. Like, oh, no, we just, you know, we're just Facebook. We're just this little bitty website.
I disagree.
Facebook was always evil.
I think Facebook is more of the AOL branding. Because think about it. You've got, instead of searching keywords on AOL, you search for pages on Facebook. There are people, I'm sure, out there who don't think the internet exists outside of Facebook. Or if it does, it's like the scary ghetto.
Well, my neighbor is like that. Yeah, my neighbor is like that. She's an older woman. All she uses, the internet for her is Facebook. That's where she gets her news. That's where she, you know, talks to her kids. That's where she hears what's going on.
It's everything. Great. It works great for people like that, and that's what's scary, because there's so much better ways to get your information out there. I guess if you just want the information, it's fed to you on Facebook. I don't know.
Isn't there a way to get Facebook for free on your mobile phone if you don't have a data plan? If you go to zero.facebook.com, some carriers, Facebook has a deal with them. If you don't have a data plan, but you go to your phone's web browser and you go to this URL, you get to use Facebook for free.
Wow. Actually, I guess so. That's interesting.
I read about it a few months ago because it was really picking up in third world countries like India and stuff like that. We're saying that for people that can't afford it, Facebook is making it affordable. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you could use it for free.
That's really weird, because that's basically paying someone to host you again. If you will, it's kind of creepy forcing yourselves out there.
I've never heard of that. That almost, and I don't know that it exists, but it almost sounds like one of those like email forwards
If you go to zero.facebook.com, if you go to zero.facebook.com right now, it will pop up and actually tell you that your current provider is not supported by that, and it doesn't explain what it is or anything. It just asks you if you want to go to the mobile site, but the fact that it's there and it says it's not supported by your carrier kind of backs up what Steven says. And I got to trust Steven on a lot of these things because he's the only one of us who actually thinks in the worldly way because he's not from America. He's a foreigner. He's a tourist.
Yes. To invade your country. Yeah, Verizon is not supported on Verizon either.
I'm going to try it on mine. I just tried it from my
you have a
computer
data
browser.
Plan, though, so.
You never know.
Data plan, yeah, but it's carrier specific. It's whether or not Facebook has struck a deal with some carriers. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Facebook has already struck a deal with lower-end regionals like Metro PCS.
Well, Walmart has their Straight Talk now, too. I wonder if it's part of that.
I'll look up online and see if I can find an article that lists the carriers, but just know that this option is available. But I'm pretty sure anybody who listens to this podcast...
So are we going to talk about the racetrack memory? Because that's pretty fucking awesome tech.
Yeah, I got to agree.
I'm a little bit confused about that. Maybe I don't have my...
Hey, Vito, if you got a grip on it, man, just let us know what's up with that.
All right, the way that current hard drives work, the physical spinning hard drives, you have the platters, the magnetic platters, right? And you got the little needle that goes back and forth, writing and reading constantly, right? Now, the speed that the drive moves at determines how fast the data can be found. Because if it's on a certain part of the disk, you got to wait for it to come back around, then you just got to access it, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. That's why solid-state drives are so much faster. They don't have to wait for the media to spin. It just goes out, it grabs it, pulls it in, and you have what you're looking for. Now, the way that the new memory that they're working on now, the racetrack memory, imagine if you have kind of like a parabolic curve is how I described it in the little write-up. And at the bottom of the curve, that's where it touches the racetrack. Now, the racetrack works like your needle does on your physical media now. It's where it reads the data. It's where it writes the data. But what it does is it writes the data on the bottom part of the curve, and then the drive will push an electrical current through the curve to move the data along it. So you'll start off with a little bit of data in the middle, and then it'll apply a positive current and push that data up the other side of the curve so that you have a blank space down at the bottom again.
So that's kind of like using water to push, like, say, something's insert or like a vacuum tube at a bank. They put the they put the check in the little slider thing, and then the air shoves it through, and then it's blank again.
Right, just like that.
Okay.
Now, they've been working on this since 2004, I believe it is, but the problem they were having is they couldn't figure out how to stop the data. They were able to move it, and they were moving it at really high speeds, but what they couldn't figure out was how to stop it where they wanted it so that, you know, you're getting the data on the racetrack when you need it on the racetrack, right? Well, they just recently figured out that it takes almost as much time to completely stop the data movement as it does to get it up to its maximum speed. So now that they've figured that out, now that they can reliably stop it where they need to, when they need to, we're going to be seeing stuff with solid state speeds and current physical hard drive capacities at current physical hard drive prices. So imagine like a solid state speed with a terabyte drive for like $70-$80.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
And using like nanowires to manipulate the magnetic state?
That I don't have a huge understanding of. I looked more into like the how it works kind of thing. I didn't go into how they were constructing the drives. I got the basic gist behind the tech, but not the physical building of the drive itself. But they're moving the data. If it was like something physical, like a car, we're talking hundreds of miles an hour over like nanometers, like tiny, tiny little distances, but it's going hundreds of miles an hour. That's how fast the data is moving. So,
well, yeah, that's what happens when you put the fact that they can basically shove electricity down a hole and then stop it where they want it. That's pretty damn cool.
So is nobody else as excited about this as I am? Because
I am. But
I'm really
oh man, I can't wait till it comes out. It's gonna be so cool.
I was listening so to awesome. your great description of it, and that's as much as I think it sounds great. I don't, you know, I don't even pretend to understand all the
complexity.
That's
the thing. We're all kind of trying to figure out how the fuck it works,
but see, how you know how it works. That's the weird part.
My brain has this
hole in it
where there's a huge hole in it, and I fill it with useless information. But no, I'll hear something in passing, and my brain will cling to it for some reason, and I cannot sleep. I can't pay attention to anything else until I learn everything that I possibly can about it, or until I get to the point where I'm just completely burned out and I don't give a shit anymore. That's what happened.
Or story track I heard about was holographic drives. Those have actually made these progress in the last few years, accessible instantaneously because it all light and holograms.
I remember hearing, I think actually it was NC State maybe 15 years ago, doing some work with holographic drives and crystals.
Yeah, I've heard about once a year I hear holographic drives pop up, and then I don't hear much about them again.
Do you guys remember holographic baseball cards?
Oh, those were awesome.
You remember that one card where the dad on it turned into a race car?
Shut up. I knew that was coming. Oh, memes.
Oh, God. He just said memes.
That's so funny.
He just said memes.
You're getting your invitation to this podcast revoked right now.
Oh, man.
Speaking of this high-tech, man has found a way to create alloys similar to palladium synthetically, or to bypass the worse grip that Russia and China have on all of its high-quality ores and minerals.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Seeing how when Mother Nature's resources aren't available, science steps up and hits a home run.
That was nice.
Look at you being all eloquent and shit.
Ain't no place for that around here.
Another scientific breakthrough was arrived today, an element possibly impossible to exist synthetically, but it...
What?
Wow, that sounds incredible.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
that is interesting.
All right, you know what?
You keep saying things, and I'm only hearing every third word and trying to piece it together.
Well, how about this? In Pennsylvania, you no longer can get ticketed or cited by the police using profanity.
I didn't know you could get a ticket for that.
Dude, I only live like 20 minutes from Pennsylvania. I'm going to drive up, find a cop, and cuss him out right now.
California just passed a law that if a police officer pulls you over and asks to see your phone, he can go through your text messages and basically your anything you have on your phone, they can go through it.
So yeah, if you have it password protected, do you have to give them the password?
Well, that
no.
That's just like a lock.
By law, you do not have to give them the password. But it's just funny that that's an invasion of privacy. I don't see how they're getting away with it.
Yeah, why you just put it on the floor and say you can come get it when you get a warrant to get in my car.
Well, it's like if you had like a little black book, they can look in your little black book.
That's only once they get a warrant to get into your car. Right. They have to get a search warrant to get in your car to see that.
But if you're already being arrested,
no, that's the thing. You don't have to be being arrested. This is if you're getting a speeding ticket.
Yeah, this is just getting pulled over.
Basically, the reason they do this. Ticket or no ticket. Is because they have people saying, "Oh, I wasn't talking on my phone. I wasn't texting. I was just checking the number before I answered my Bluetooth headset." Because in California, you can't talk or text on the phone. So now they basically said you can do this because they want to be able to actually, because you can get out of any ticket you want by basically saying, "No, I wasn't texting. I was just pulling this up," and the cop has no proof that you're on the phone.
Simply just ask for phone records from the company when your court date comes up.
That takes more time. And by that point, it's like a $100 fine or $150 fine. It's not worth it to the state to go through that much.
Yeah.
This is the easy way.
But still, it's just put a password on your phone if you think you're going to get pulled over and live in California.
Password on your phone anyway.
Yeah. I'm all for passwords.
That's another cool thing about Windows Phone 7. Besides the fact that it only allows a 4-digit password to unlock, it does have an automatic find your phone. When you log into Windows Live online, you log in with the same account you logged in on your phone, and you can go to Find My Phone. You can remote lock it. You can make it ring, a special ring for a minute, or you can completely wipe the phone all for free.
Your phone is
And no, it basically overrides everything.
It's pretty cool. Like, I told my SO to go hide it in the other room and to see if it would work, and boom, it worked.
Boom.
Boom.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom.
so put a password on your phone if you're in California.
Password on your phone anyway.
If you're
people
in Philly,
security. God.
Longer will get ticketed for calling other motorists assholes.
Exactly.
Well, that's a riot is American.
It took an ACLU lawsuit in May of 2010 to actually reverse this.
Wow. Well, that's why I don't go to Pennsylvania.
They have great cheesesteaks.
I love how the ACLU is looking out for the right of people to swear.
ACLU has their issues in a very special place.
I love them.
You're an idiot.
I hold them close to my ass.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
This just did.
let's move along.
Galaxy Tab has sold 10 million units in 2010.
Yeah, I'm not impressed by that platform.
What?
I didn't know.
Wait, you're not impressed by the figures, or it
wasn't
that long?
No. Just the actual unit itself, the Galaxy Tab. The numbers are amazing, but I think it's because it's the only Android, the only real Android tablet out at the moment.
Well, that could be said for the iPad too. The only reason
right.
it sold
no,
so
I totally
many
agree
because
with
it was the only one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
But I mean, if it was a piece of shit, then people wouldn't have.
Well, it's not a
bought
it's not
10
a piece of shit.
Of them.
I mean, it has a solid OS, but it's not to me and most people. And why Google made Honeycomb is because it's not a tablet friendly OS.
Right, this goes back to when we went earlier in the show. I was talking about that, you know, the difference between 2 and 3, and I'm really looking forward to more tablets coming out with Honeycomb. I mean, it's cool, you know, the Galaxy Tab has done well, but it just doesn't look that impressive to me.
No, I don't think it does either.
Windows XP phone get released yet? it was a little phone the size of like your regular smartphone nowadays. That had full Windows XP as its operating system, with the start menu and everything.
What?
A tiny little screen.
No, that was Windows 6.5.
No. This is Windows XP full up on the phone.
Well, isn't that the wavy Notion or whatever it's called? Motion. Isn't that basically? But that has like Windows 7 on it.
Oh well, Windows 7. But I mean, Windows 7 is more friendly to.
Oh, yeah, it's the XP phone.
Actual XP phone.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Wow, that thing's hideous.
The slide-out keyboard and stuff.
Good God. And the keys are tiny. No man could use that.
That's what she said.
That's awkward.
Well, it's got its first peak in October of... I think it was October of 2009, and we haven't heard anything since.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we can XP's consider this unit dead.
Vaporware!
Or... It's worse than vaporware. It's outdated before it came out by 10 years. Where?
Yeah.
It's like,
no.
It's like I'm gonna.
That died and it needed to.
I'm gonna make a phone that doesn't receive text. It only has numbers, and I'm gonna call it the Motorola StoreTech.
Isn't there a phone already out there like that? John's phone.
Yeah, the Motorola Motorola StoreTech. Yeah, and that stupid freaking thing with a notepad on the back.
The John's phone.
John's phone, yeah.
It's a hipster phone. Straight up.
It's got a notepad.
So fucking retarded.
Blue's Clues
like
phone.
A tiny pencil that comes out of it too for you to write on your notepad.
Yeah, like instead of a stylus, it has a pencil that pulls out and you can like write in the address book. On
my
the
handy dandy
so
notebook.
What it reminded me of, I had this when I was a kid. I got this toy from my McDonald's Happy Meal that was like one of those secret agent calculator decoder things. Really didn't do shit except the top portion came out like a stamp and McDonald's onto everything. It looks exactly like the John's phone. I was expecting a stamp to come out of the top of that thing.
I think I remember what you're talking about. That's sad.
McDonald's, the, like Mc.
Yeah.
Hey, McDonald's had cool Happy Meal boys back in the day.
McCracker, McCraptograph, or whatever.
Do you guys remember the hamburger and the French fries that transformed, like Transformers?
Sports car?
Oh, hell yeah. I had a bunch of those.
I remember those.
Those were awesome.
Those were the best.
Transformers.
The Hamburglar. Hamburglar.
Yeah, because there was one that was a ham. There was one that was a hamburger. One that was a thing of fries. One that was
and a milkshake. Yeah. I think that's where Hungry Teen Aquaforce got its idea from.
You guys ever have to request to get the boys' toy version of the Happy Meal?
No, I didn't have to request it.
I stopped getting Happy
Meal.
Well,
you look like a girl, you know.
10.
Oh, ha ha.
Aha.
Well, let's wrap it up and sort of get us ready for
awkward silence.
Am I being heard or am I cutting out again?
Cutting out.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Can you cut in this time?
I'll try my best.
Thanks.
Come on, you can do it. Hit the chopper. Finish the recording. Come on.
Vito, for your next assignment is to get that homeless guy with the radio voice on here.
I don't think he's homeless anymore.
No, he
did Entertainment Tonight's voiceover.
The guy with the Morgan Freeman teeth?
Dude, the Cleveland Cavaliers gave him a house.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they just fucking gave him a house. I mean, I'm really happy for him, but I come from a family of addicts, and I can tell you right now that that's the surest way to get somebody straight back into the shit, is to give them everything they need and everything they want all at once. Yeah. I mean, I sincerely hope that that didn't happen, but that's because he's been on the street for 2 years.
Boy,
he didn't have any fucking money for 2 years.
All the crack whores are on the street. Come on. Crack.
Yeah, but you know, he has nothing going for him. Looks, no. Breath is probably horrible. His hair is hideous. It's like Don King.
He got a haircut.
Hey, he got it fixed, man.
Yeah, he got the haircut. Look, all I'm saying is it's a whole lot easier to be off the junk when you
have
to
earn
your
life back.
When you gotta like suck dick for crack or whatever. I mean, when people are just giving you a house and jobs left right, and you have a $10,000 offer from some bank to do the voiceover for their commercials. I mean, the dude's got everything he needs and everything he wants just laid into his lap. That's dangerous ground right there.
That's the American dream.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not going to judge him until like 6 months from now. If he's back on the crack in, you know, 6 months, then yeah, you're right. But
I'm not saying that I hope it happens. I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
To get your WoW account banned, just to see how you will last for a week.
Oh yeah, dude.
I've got
he'll
an
suck,
Xbox,
suck
dude.
Dick. He'll suck dick for Paladin.
Dude, I'll suck dick for Crystal Gold, man.
I will fucking turn around and start playing Borderlands. That's bad.
I'm an Ironforge. Tip me. I'll suck your dick.
I'll suck your dick, man.
All right. On that note, we're wrapping it up. That was episode 14 of the Noisecast, Ring of Larmenis.
Hey, guys. Hi.
For my toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Did we just catch him, like...
he was on his toilet.
In coitus?
I'm part of the MLF, Major League Fapping. You guys got me.
Keto number 9.
Hey, it was... me here.
That was awesome.
Oh God, Sounds a writer.
I can't top that.
I don't give a shit.
I don't. We're done.
And special guest for the evening, Cranberry Zero.
It was fun being here and listening to that last bit where I think he was tapping.
Don't forget to visit his website.
He was fapping to you.
Yeah.
iHeartChaos.com. Go to it.
Where there is much fapping to be had.
That's where you could find pictures of, according to Gonzo, guys getting boned in the ass.
Hey, there were some really nice titties on there, too.
And from what we know about Gonzo, you never trust what he says on those podcasts.
Dude, today's flavor of the day is fucking amazing. Amazing.
I don't even remember what it is.
That's the one with all the perky nipples.
Oh, yeah.
You guys should check out my homepage, lemonparty.org.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. Why would you do that?
Visit us. And my sister site, meatspin.com.
Sister site?
That's a great one, too.
God. Don't forget to visit us at thenoisecast.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast. Email us at the.noisecast.com. Keep your eye out on the Twitter.
And don't forget our new blog.
To say keep your eye out on Twitter for updates on our new blog posts are trickling through at thenoisecast.blogspot.com, which we will find a way to integrate into our main site soon. Well, that's everything, isn't it?
Sure.
Our Facebook page.
I don't give a shit.
Yes. Next time, same time, same place, episode 15, our special CES edition featuring Snoop Dizzle back from CES and probably still drunk. Thanks again for listening.
And maybe we'll be on MySpace.
God damn it.
Yeah. We forgot to mention the episode 3 review is finally out. So check it out on the website.
If you have 2 hours to waste, go check out the Red Letter Media Revenge of the Sith review.
Dude, that's not a waste of 2 hours. That is better than all three of the first movies put together.
It was pretty funny.
Isn't
that's all I have to say.
Star Wars thing now available for pre-order on Blu-ray?
All of them, actually.
It is, but no.
Is it the one where Han shoots first, or is it the one where he doesn't and features Jabba and Han being butt buddies?
Look, go into your basement and fucking set yourself on fire. Sorry, what?
No, we're done. Quit recording.
Already signed on. Goodbye.
Nice cast. Come and confess, we're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirts and the fingerprints, and oh, you are so dumb. You are really dumb, for real. You are really, 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 really so dumb. I was attacked by some idiot in the project. So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so dumb. He's climbing your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you. We gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. Got 5'9", 5'10". Copy complexion, no cut like a Caesar. With smooth waves in his head, clean cut, very smooth face. Seeing my sister when I walked in, he had his hands around her neck. First thing was to pull him off of her, and that's what I did. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you. We gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. Well, obviously we have a rapist in Lincoln Park.
Are you serious, my boy?
I get your t-shirt, I get your tee. I know what you say, you wear my boots. So you can point and hide it, but we're gonna find you. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you. We gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you. We gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy.
I tell them we don't run around crying and acting sad. We just dust our shoulders off and keep on moving.